tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna, and of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio, or NPE Radio. I am very, very excited that you've returned. I was a little teased a couple of weeks ago because over here in South Texas, we had nice fall weather. And the highs were around 85. I was like, man, God, fall's starting early. Well, no, it looks like we're having an Indian summer because the highs are back in the mid-upper 90s. And I don't know if we can even say Indian summer anymore. Is that racist? I don't know. I know we can't say Indian style anymore when we sit with our legs crossed. I mentioned that in one of my confessions of an obese child when I was reprimanded by one of my students that we used the term crisscross applesauce. And I was like, what, did an Indian delegation go to Washington, D.C. and go to the president and be like, you're offending us by calling it Indian style? Or is just the PC police has gone crazy? Speaking of, we have a high school here in San Antonio called Robert E. Lee High School after the great American and Confederate general Robert E. Lee. And they recently voted to take his name off of this high school, which has been around for 50 plus years. Robert E. Lee was an American great general. He fought in the Mexican War, and he was a patriot to Virginia. And so when Virginia seceded from the Union, he decided to go the way of his state. And it just bothers me with this revisionist history. Anyways, we're not here to talk about things you didn't learn in history class. We're actually here to talk about the flu vaccine. Now, the flu vaccine stirred my attention because this is a very controversial topic, and I've waited a long time to talk about it, and I kind of need to skirt the topic because at the district where I work, the official policy is that the kids and the staff should take the annual flu vaccine because I don't know if they actually think it's effective or just because they're just towing the party line that the entire world toes, you know, from the mainstream media and the medical establishment and the AMA and the CDC and the WHO. But I wanted to bring this up simply because there was a recent study that came out that came to a lot of people's attention about the link between the flu vaccine when you're pregnant and the increased amount of miscarriages. And when I saw this article, I just laughed really hard. Now, I didn't like, like a Santa Claus laugh, and I'm by no means laughing at the women who had a miscarriage. I'm just laughing at just the circumstance, and it reminds me of 1984, George Orwell. Orwell wrote this great line in 1984 that says, those who control the present control the past, and those who control the past control the future. So in other words, if you are in control of the zeitgeist or your control of the present, you can spin the past and tell people that the past was a certain way. And if you control all the mechanisms of knowledge, let's say books and knowledge and so forth, then people don't know any better. And then once you control how they view the past, you can control the future because you already have them properly propagandized. And we've talked about the myth of overpopulation, for example. That's a great example. If you tell enough people at school and through the media that the world's overpopulated, they'll preach it like, as Lenin called them, useful idiots to other people. You can maybe even say the same thing about global warming. But with the flu shot, it made me laugh because, and this has been in the news quite a bit, but I just want to quote a couple of stats. So there was an article that was published in the journal Vaccine. Oh my God, I would love to see who's on the board of directors of the journal called Vaccine. You know, it's all revolving door. It's all going to be big pharma, big business people in it. But to their credit, they released a result, an article about a week ago, talking about this increased rate of miscarriages of women who take the flu shot when they're pregnant. And it just said that the article in the Vaccine periodical stated that from 2010 to 2012 influenza seasons, pregnant women who were vaccinated against the flu had a higher risk of suffering a miscarriage, but only if they had received the flu shot in the previous year as well. Now, I think it's interesting they bring this up because the flu vac, as you all the anti-vaxxers know, I mean, there's an industry behind anti-vax, and there's certainly an industry with vaccination, which we'll talk about in a second. But I mean, if you are a mother or just anybody who's into health stuff and you bring up vaccines, man, it is like freaking brawl time. It is like a rumble between the two parties. So just bringing this up is like blood to sharks for anti-vaxxers, right? They're like, we've known this forever. We've known this forever. It's linked to, you know, lower IQ and autism. And then, they bring up all the Dr. Wakefield over in England back in the 90s when he published that famous study between autism and vaccines. And then, you know, he was discredited. But then if you listen to the anti-vaxxers, they're like, no, because he was framed. He was framed. It's all true. And then later on last year, you had the big controversy with the CDC and Dr. Hooker. And Hooker came out and admitted that there was a correlation between the flu vaccine and a higher rate of autism in African Americans. And then he was interviewed by one reporter. And after that, he's been quiet at the CDC. They haven't fired him because I think by firing him, that's like almost giving him credence. But he won't talk about it again. But he was talking about whistleblowing for that. So my point is this. Go read the article on the higher rate of miscarriage when you're pregnant. Now, is this linked to mercury? I don't know, but I'll tell you this, and this is the funny part, and this is what made me laugh, is that I've seen literature from the 1950s. In the 1950s, public health policy was very clear. Pregnant women should not have flu vaccines. They should not have flu vaccines. And then lo and behold, 10, 15 years ago, it's, oh no, the flu and the old people definitely need flu vaccine because so many people die of flu, you know, and they never tell you, it's never like young, healthy people who die of influenza. It's always immunocompromised people or old people. So when you hear this stat, like 20,000 people die from the flu annually, they don't tell you the whole information because they don't want you to know the whole information. They don't want you to know it. So again, you hear these women here, oh, I guess I should get, I'm pregnant, I should get the flu shot. It's flu season, right? And the flu shot works. And so they don't even look into the past, right? Those who control the present control the past. They don't realize that for decades, the medical establishment told pregnant women not to get the flu vaccine because of the side effects and because of the mercury. The mercury is a known neurotoxin. Anyways, it just frustrates me. So look, we're going to talk about some reasons why you might not want to take the flu shot. All right, here we go. Number one, the flu vaccine contains mercury. This is not really shocking here in terms of why it's number one. Okay, so we're told that mercury is bad, right? Because it's in the fish. It's in thermometers. So we took it out of the old thermometers. Oh, it's in bulbs, right? And so you read, I remember if you listen to the podcast on fluorescent lights, I read straight from the EPA website that you need to get out of the room because there's mercury in it. All right, so we hear all these places that mercury is bad, but oh, you know, we took it out of the MMR vaccine, but oh, it's still in all the flu vaccines. And everybody knows that mercury is a known neurotoxin. So why is it still okay to put thimerosal in the flu vac? Now, thimerosal is a type of mercury. And the old school argument as to why we have to have thimerosal mercury in the vaccines is because it's a preservative. Similar to parabens are used as preservatives in makeup because without them, makeup would deteriorate, their colors wouldn't look as pretty, and then no one would buy it. Similar to the same reason why fast food companies spray chemicals on their vegetables and produce so they don't wilt, and the same reason why big food companies like Conagra spray crap on our meat so it stays pinker than normal. So they put in thimerosal in the as a preservative because we used to do like multiple doses coming out of a big vat of vaccine. And so by keeping this, I guess think of it as a drop of bleach, right? In the gigantic vat of flu vac where we would draw multiple syringes, it would prevent bacteria from growing in there. Well, you know, we're not doing multi-vax anymore. We're not doing multi-syringe draws from this gigantic vat of mercury or gigantic vat of the flu vac. So why the hell is mercury still in there? Why is it in there? There's no reason to have it in there. Get it out. Number two, it's pretty much completely ineffective. Now, one of the reasons for this, and even the CDC and all the mouthpiece organizations won't deny this. Here's the deal. There's three major flu strands in the world. Okay, it's a virus. Influenza is a virus. They have to make these doses a long time ahead of time, like a year ahead of time. And they have to kind of just predict and guess which strand is going to be the prevalent strand. So let's say they think, oh, okay, we think it's going to be flu strand A, you know, variant of flu strand A. So they make all the vax for flu strand A. And lo and behold, no, it's going to be flu strand C that's really bad this flu season. Everybody gets the vac and it's completely ineffective. It's completely ineffective. So it's like, oh, and you hear this in the news. They'll be like, oh, this year the flu vac was 25% effective. And everyone's like clapping, oh, thank you, Big Pharma. Thank you, 25% effective. Oh, you're the best. So it's a complete waste of time because even when they're dead on, there's arguably statistically a 1 in 3 chance they're going to get it right. But chances are, I'm going to give you protection from that. Okay, so it's a total scam that way. Number three, it increases your chances of getting dementia. Now, I love bringing this up to friends who are like, oh, the flu shot works. It's great. It's great. Yeah, well, you know what? Increases your chances of getting dementia. So there was a study that showed that those who got the flu vac shot for 3 to 5 years in a row were at 10 times greater risk for developing Alzheimer's than those who got fewer or no shots. Why? Well, maybe the neurotoxins in the vaccine. And you know, I failed to mention that it's not necessarily just the mercury that's in there that's the problem. There's other reasons why it's a problem. There's other toxins that are in there. There's aluminum, for example. Aluminum is in the vaccines. There's formaldehyde. Formaldehyde that we use to stuff dead bodies is in the vaccines. I mean, it's just not one or two things. There's a lot of preservatives and crap that they put in there that's a problem. So this makes sense, right? You're getting neurotoxins like aluminum, you're getting mercury in there, and it's going to affect the brain. So this is especially true for older people who are getting flu vaccines. But think about it. There's people who've been drinking the flu vaccine Kool-Aid since a very young age. And every year for 50 years, they've been getting the flu vac. Again, the incremental dose of these neurotoxins is going to have effect on your body, and in particular your brain, because mercury can pass the blood-brain barrier along with these other toxins. So it makes complete sense that it increases your chances of getting dementia and Alzheimer's. All right, issue number four. Taking the flu vaccine gives you a better chance of giving it to other people. You will shed the virus and give it to others. So there was a study that showed that about 80% of the people who get the flu vac shed the virus for about 7 days after being vaccinated. So I think most of you guys understand like the old Dr. Jenner was a British scientist, and he was the one who came up with this idea, and I think it was through smallpox, that if you gave milkmaids, or if you give people a small dose, an attenuated dose or a smaller dose of the live vaccine, the body can develop antibodies and then fight it, and then you had a resistance. And he noticed that milkmaids or women that were around cows were less likely to get it. So there's plenty of studies that show that when you get the flu vac, you are essentially contagious because you're getting an attenuated virus. And I know there's the flu mist and there's different ones, and they'll say that it's a dead dose and it's not as contagious, but it is contagious. So that's another reason to stay away, because all these people at the hospital, they get the flu vac and then they go to work, and then of course we're all going to get sick unless you have a very strong immune system. All right, issue number five. Getting the flu vaccine increases the chances of neonatal deaths or newborn deaths. A 2012 study by Dr. Gary Goldman showed that there was a 4,200% increase in the number of neonatal deaths that year. That was the same year that guidelines were released that recommended pregnant women to get 2 flu shots, right? But wait, there's more. If you order in the next 5 minutes, you'll get another flu shot. So again, it makes sense, right? The baby's so vulnerable in the womb. Again, there's no blood-brain barrier for the mother. So why would there be one for the baby? Why would there be one for that? Reason number six, you might not want to get the flu vac. The scientists at the CDC are quoted as saying that they wouldn't give it to their own family. So any of you anti-vaxxers know about the Simpson-Wood document. This came out about 2000. I remember hearing about this in conspiracy radio at the time. And so there was a CDC meeting, like a retreat, over in Simpson-Wood, Georgia. And the white papers that came out of it were leaked. And so there's some pretty famous quotes about the vaccine. So there was a doctor, Dr. William Wheel, who was the American Academy of Pediatrics. He was at Simpsonwood in this conference in 2000. He's quoted as saying, I'll change the accent to make it easier. The number of those related relationships between mercury and autism are linear and statistically significant. You can play with this all you want. They are linear. They are statistically significant. Of course, I made him Indian. And then there was another professor there, Dr. Robert Johnson, immunologist from the University of Colorado and over at Simpsonwood at the same conference. He said, forgive this personal comment, but I got called out at 8 o'clock for an emergency call, and my daughter-in-law delivered a son by C-section. Our first male in the line of the next generation. And I don't want that grandson to get a thimerosal-containing vaccine until we know better what is going on. It will probably take a long time. In the meantime, I know there are probably implications for this internationally, but in the meanwhile, I think I want that grandson to be only given thimerosal-free vaccines. It just reminds me of the oncologist poll that I had mentioned before, where oncologists were polled, and the majority of them would not give themselves or anybody in their family chemo. Yeah. Another guy, Dr. John Clemens from the World Health Organization, the WHO, he said, but there is now the point at which the research results have to be handled, and even if this committee decides there is no association and that information gets out, the work has been done, and through the freedom of information that will be taken by others and will be used in other ways beyond the control of this group. And I am very concerned about that, as I suspect that it is already too late to do anything regardless of any professional body and what they say. My mandate as I sit here in this group is to make sure at the end of the day that 100 million are immunized with diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis shot, hepatitis B, and possible HIV. This year, next year, and for many years to come, and that will have to be with thimerosal-containing vaccines unless a miracle occurs and an alternative is found quickly and is tried and found to be safe. Yeah, look. The CDC has a vested interest in pushing these vaccines, and we'll talk about that now. Reason number seven, it's a business. It's a business. Now, you know, Big Pharma makes the FluVac and all the other vaccines. Well, who's the largest purchaser of these vaccines? It's the CDC. It's the CDC. They buy most of these FluVacs. And this is where you get these free, quote-unquote, free flu shots. It's because the CDC's bought millions of vaccines, millions of them, and they got to pawn them off to local clinics, local hospitals, local schools, and whatnot to get them for either cheap or very, very cheap or for free. Because the CDC needs to get rid of this inventory. So they have a vested interest in the dispensing or the injecting of these flu vaccines. And this is what you see with the FDA as well. It's like there's a conflict of interest because the FDA and the CDC, they have dual purposes. One of the purposes is pretty well known to you guys. It's to protect the food supply. The FDA, the USDA, is to protect us, quote unquote, from getting any toxins in the food. And of course, they're laughably, well, the upper echelon people know that exactly what's going on, and so they're like, whoa, red 40, what, bladder tumors, what, ADHD, and then the lower level people are just doing the best that they can, but they have some like 400 chemicals a month that come their way that are wanting to get acceptance, and then the lobbyists are pushing them to accept it. But my point is this, is like their job is nominally to protect us, but also it's to promote the interests of U.S. big pharma and big cattle abroad. Well, the CDC is no different. Their job is to nominally protect us, but also this is the other aspect of their business that you don't hear about. It's to profit. It's to profit off of vaccines and sell them to other countries and other parties and NGOs and so forth. And so they have like this certain recipe to get people to get into the flu vac. And it's kind of like the same thing, right? Influenza season's in the winter. Now, why is it in the winter? Arguably because we get sicker in the winter. Why are we getting sicker in the winter? Are there more viruses in the winter? No, it's just because our mucus dries up in the winter because it's cold. And so the flu and the other viruses and even bacteria can get into our body because the mucus is dried and the job of the mucus is kind of to stick to stuff. And also we're not getting enough vitamin D because we're not in the sun. But anyways, so it's always the same thing. It's always like, oh, there's a dominant strain and there's initial cases of diseases and people are dying in China, or it's the swine flu, or it's the H1B1 flu. And then of course the media will jump onto this because they're colluding. This is all a conspiracy. It's a collusion, right? So then the media will go on and show the videos of long lines of people getting their flu vac because of the hysterical frenzy that the CDC generates so you can get in line and buy the flu vac from your doctor or wherever else. And I mean, it's all like it's a problem, reaction, solution, the old Masonic thing. It's like you create the problem, but you don't let people know that you're creating the problem. And then you offer the solution and you come in as, oh, we're going to offer this solution. Everyone's like, oh, we love you. It's like thesis, antithesis, synthesis, going back to the Hegelian dialectic. It's similar to the same thing. So and then you hear people are dying. You got to get the flu vac. And there's no hysteria. There's no legitimate flu problem. But it's generated to generate hysteria. So sheeple like us are like, I guess I got to go get my flu vaccine. The flu vaccine. Sheeple. And so we all get the flu vaccine because they need to make money off of it, guys. Reason number eight why you shouldn't get the flu vaccine. I think a lot of you guys know this one. Who can you sue if there is a side effect? The answer is nobody. Nobody. Back in 1986, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act was passed to protect pharmaceutical companies from anyone claiming a vaccine injured their child. So under this law, no parent can sue a vaccine manufacturer. And to extend that, you can't even sue the doctor who was pushing you or browbeating you into getting the vaccine. So this is something that they don't tell you about when you go see your altruistic, well-meaning, earnest pediatrician who's just towing the party line that they learned in med school funded by Big Pharma. So you got to get your flu back. Well, if and when you have a side effect, like your kid dies or has brain damage or gets Guillain-Barré or some sort of nervous system problem or a host of other things, allergies, whatnot, you have no recourse. You can't sue Big Pharma. They're protected. They're protected. So what is their best interest? I mean, what's their vested interest to fix the vaccines? If they're just laughing their way to the bank. Oh, 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 like the fat businessman in Monopoly or whatever. They're just rolling in the dough. And then your doctors are protected too. So good luck. Good luck if your child has some sort of side effect from the flu vac, or you do, or an adult or whatever, to try to get some recourse, to get some remuneration or anything. There is a vaccine compensation court. But the paperwork and the hurdles that you and the hoops you have to jump through, it's so expansive and so intricate that most people can't afford it. They can't afford the lawyer fees. And at the most, you might get a couple of thousand dollars for the compensation that you might get. So it's like the system is built against the common man, and it's totally built to protect big pharma, big business, big agriculture, your doctor, and the government. So this is one of the reasons you're never going to hear the CDC coming out and saying, oh, there is a link between autism and the flu. Even if there is, maybe it's not. You know, some studies show it's maybe environmental toxins that the mom is eating. Maybe it's living next to a freeway. I mean, there's tons of different things that say it is. Maybe the mom has a high fever when she's pregnant. But my point is that the CDC isn't going to one day come out and say, oh, you're right. Yeah, we've been covering it up. Because think about the lawsuits. If they admit that there's any connection between the flu vac or any vaccine and any health deleterious health effects, people will be suing them up the wazoo. So they're just going to deny. That's all they're going to do. All right, reason number eight why you shouldn't get the flu shot, or you should be strongly thinking about not getting it, is because it creates stronger strands of viruses. Viruses are mutating all the time, and similar to antibiotics, when you get the flu shot, that it causes the flu virus to mutate because it's like, damn, I don't want to die. And so it becomes stronger and harder to treat. All right, the last thing I want to mention is this. What percentage of Americans do you think get the flu shot? Let me rephrase this. What percentage of Americans do you think get the flu? And this goes back to the hysteria fear every winter that we have. Oh, the flu's going to be bad. And you see the lines and they show you the map of the U.S. with the red states are having a massive flu epidemic. What percentage of Americans get the flu? I'll give you choices. Is it 15% a year, 20, 25, 30, 50, 60? I guess that's too many choices. It's 15%. 15% of Americans get the flu every year. But if you listen to the media, right, everyone's dying from the flu. 15%. And then what percentage of Americans get the flu vaccine? 50%. 50%. So only half of the Americans are getting it. And kudos to pregnant women, because I remember listening to NPR recently where the majority of pregnant women don't get the flu vaccine. So look, we are making headway. We are making headway on the vaccines. And we're not talking about the MMR. We're not going to talk about the ones for the meningococcal or giving newborn babies hepatitis B vaccines. And, you know, I would love to have my own blog podcast article about just how the vax are pushed on my kids all the time. I'm just bringing up some reasons why the annual flu vaccine is a complete waste of time and a waste of money. And let me tell you this last thing, that my school district's official policies of the flu vac is great. And so I don't touch this stuff at school. I'm not going to risk my job educating these kids on the flu vaccine. So I just got to be smart. But it's just sad to see that so many people just take the flu vac without even questioning if it's effective. And this is the inherent trust that we have with doctors. And you saw this with politics up into through the Kennedy assassination. But with the Kennedy assassination and then Vietnam and then Watergate, people lost their naivete and their idealism about politicians. And after Watergate and the Nixon scandal and his resignation, most Americans believe that politicians are crooked. And I mean, it's not like, oh, Trump's horrible, Hillary's horrible, they're all horrible, they're all crooked. But why hasn't this gone over to big medicine and into our health, our sick care system? People still trust doctors, and it's not like doctors are malevolent, but they're only as good as what they're taught. So it's just frustrating to see that people still have this whole belief that the CDC and the WHO and the NIA and all the NIH are still looking out for us, when I would beg to differ that they're not. So again, these are some reasons why you might not want to take the flu vac. Oh, you don't want to get dementia. It has heavy metal toxins in it. Their own doctors won't take it. So these are some things to consider. In the next episode of NPE, we're going to talk about some natural ways you can strengthen your immune system, because I think it'd be a great supplement to this podcast. Last thing before I end it, please go and just, it takes 2 minutes, post a review for us and subscribe to the podcast. It would really help us out. Kate and I would appreciate it. It'd be wicked retarded, as they would say, wicked retarded. All right, guys, until next time, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.